Blog Talk Radio.
If you haven't been to Mass in a while, have you wondered what you've been missing?
That's the power of love.
The creator of the universe, becoming the bread of life, just for you. Why not start attending Mass again and see for yourself what you've been missing?
And welcome to Deeper Truth, Holy Name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? And to help us to ready ourselves, I'm focusing on the Star of Bethlehem shines on Christmas night. And today's feast is Saint Sabas, so I will be giving his story, Saint Sabas, and so the holy name of Jesus. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase in your grace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by the precious blood which you were willing to shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities and to look graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do save me for your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate on earth, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus, without end. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And today's feast is St. Sabas, December 5th. He was born in 532 in Cappadocia. St. Sabas is one of the most highly regarded patriarchs among the monks of Palestine. After an unhappy childhood in which he was abused and ran away several times, St. Sabas finally sought refuge in a monastery. He entered the monastery at age 8, while family members tried to persuade him to return home. The young boy felt drawn to monastic life. Although the youngest monk in the house, he excelled in virtue. And so St. Sabas, an early church father in the desert, is a desert rose.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And St. Sabas, he was a desert rose. And how much our Lord loved him at the age of 8. And an innocent who was abused. And how many suffer from that today. So we just want to, you know, pray for those who are under that kind of abuse. We pray for mercy and forgiveness. And St. Sabas, pray for us. At age 18, St. Sabas traveled to Jerusalem, seeking to learn more about living in solitude. After 10 years in the monastery, 18 years old, St. Sabas traveled again to, well, he traveled to Jerusalem, and he was hoping to learn more about the practice of living in solitude. After years of monastic life in the valley of, Sabas was chosen to go on retreat in the desert of Ruban, where it is believed Christ performed his 40-day fast before his passion. During the retreat, Sabas became so dehydrated that he was close to the point of death. He prayed that the Lord would take pity on him. He stuck his staff into the earth. Immediately, a spring of water came forth, and St. Sabas was able to recover his strength for the rest of the retreat. The desert patriarchs, knowing what happens in our minds and hearts, how to recognize bad thoughts before we actually do a sinful action. That's what they would meditate on. So St. Sabas asked to be accepted as a disciple of a well-known local solitary, though initially he was regarded as too young to live completely as a hermit. Initially, St. Sabas lived in a monastery where he worked during the day and spent much of the night in prayer. At the age of 30, he was given permission to spend 5 days each week in a nearby remote cave, engaging in prayer and manual labor in the form of weaving baskets. And this is something else that they would say. In the desert dwellings, whoever sits in solitude and is quiet has escaped from three wars, those of hearing, speaking, and seeing. Then there is only one war left in which to fight, and that is the battle for your own heart. Following the death of his mentor, Saint Euthymius, St. Sabas moved farther into the desert near Jericho. There he lived for several years in a cave near the brook Cedron, near the Cedron Valley. A rope was his means of access. St. Sabas moved further into a desert cave, leaving behind a monastery. The only way to reach his removed cave home was by a rope, and St. Sabas died mainly on herbs. Because of his holy example, Christian men seeking guidance found St. Sabas in the desert. Before long, his followers numbered more than 150. Each one of them built a small hut around a remote church that they called Nara. When Sabas was 50, his local bishop asked him to discern priesthood so that he could better lead the men who journeyed into the desert to follow him. And St. Sabas agreed. But every Lent, he would leave the community for a 40-day silent retreat. Wild herbs and among the rocks were his food. Occasionally, men brought him other food and items while he had to go a distance for his water. Some of these men came to him desiring to join him in his solitude. At first he refused. But not long after relenting, his followers swelled to more than 150, all of them living in individual huts grouped around the little church that they put together there. The bishop persuaded a reluctant Sabbath, then in his early 50s, to prepare for the priesthood so that he could better serve his monastic community in leadership. While functioning as abbot among a large community of monks, he felt ever called to live the life of a hermit. One day, St. Sabas went into the desert to find a cave to pray in. The one he chose was actually a lion's den. Oh, no. He went into this lion's den, and St. Sabas encountered the lion around midnight. When the lion saw St. Sabas, he dragged him out of the cave by the hem of his garment. But St. Sabas was not afraid. He recited the Book of Psalms to the lion and reminded the lion that the cave was big enough for two. And the lion heard St. Sabas' words and left the cave, not bothering St. Sabas again. When local thieves came across St. Sabas in his cave, his holy example persuaded them to leave behind their life of sin and embrace a penitential life. And the winged lion is associated with St. Mark the Apostle, because according to ancient legend, while taking refuge from a storm in the city of Venice, St. Mark was visited by a dream and an angel in the form of a winged lion. And through each year, consistently in Lent, St. Sabas, he left his monks for long periods of time, often to their distress. A group of 60 men left the monastery, settling at a nearby ruined facility. When St. Sabas learned of the difficulties they were facing, he generously gave them supplies and assisted in the repair of their church. Over the years, St. Sabas traveled throughout Palestine preaching the true faith, the Catholic faith, and successfully bringing back many to the church. The early monks understood that temptations often come in the form of thoughts. We become attracted and have fantasies, whether that be in petty things, bodily appetites, or social interactions. At the age of 91, in response to a plea from the Patriarch of Jerusalem, St. Sabas undertook a journey to Constantinople in conjunction with the Samaritan Revolt and its violent repression. He fell ill and soon after his return died at the monastery at Mar Saba. Today, the monastery is still inhabited by monks there today, and St. Sabas is regarded as one of the most noteworthy figures of early monasticism. And here's another saying coming from the desert dwellers. Whoever has not experienced temptation cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. St. Anthony of the Desert used to say this. They saw the fight against these evil enticements as a step to love God in a deeper way. And so that's the story of St. Sabas, a desert rose. And he brought back people back to the church, the Catholic Church. And, St. James speaks about that in James chapter 5, 19 through 20. St. James writes that, if someone has gone astray from the truth and then another brings them back, know that you have saved a soul from death and canceled a multitude of sins. And so that's, if the Lord would leave the 99 to go after the one that's gone astray, that should be our work as well. And that is our apostolate here at Deeper Truth, where we can hopefully bring back the prodigals or help in that work through apologetics and through hopefully our life, our example, hopefully. That is our goal. Let the Lord work through us, the Holy Spirit. And so, thank you, Saint Sabbath, for your example and your life, to live a holy life, to give and to love God above all things. And that's a great example for us to emulate and to live by. And so, be right back here in a moment, because I want to look into the Star of Bethlehem that shines on Christmas night. Here's Bing Crosby with that classic.
Do you hear what I hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, a star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring.
That is, you know, the Star of Bethlehem shines on Christmas night. The season of Advent and Christmas were added to the church calendar for specific reasons, primarily to help people in their faith, to keep alive the relevance and foundation for our Holy Catholic faith. The past few days I've been writing on the belief that Jesus was born on December 25th, 2 BC. We have shared this through the lessons of history, that the church didn't set Christmas up to combat paganism. The weather, the politics at the time, Eve, and the scriptures. And tonight I will give a specific scientific perspective to add on what we have already demonstrated. There are many people who regard Christmas as simply a holiday, taking for granted the real reason for the season, I truly believe that what Christmas is really about can change a person's life and can change the world. Two things to consider that is happening almost simultaneously, yet independent of each other, that bears much into this discussion. On October 3 BC, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the busiest temple day of the temple year, Luke chapter 1:10, sometime late March, early April, the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and announced the coming of John the Baptist. And then in September 3 BC, the planet Jupiter was in conjunction with Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo the Lion. This would be the star the wise men would follow, leading them to Bethlehem. They followed the star for about 16 months until the star rested over Bethlehem for 6 days, beginning on December 25th, 2 BC. Coinciding almost precisely with the time Zechariah would have been serving in the temple, Yom Kippur, again, Luke chapter 1:10, a mysterious star began rising over the Middle East in what is now modern-day Iraq. I spent a lot of time over there in Iraq, too. This star was, in fact, the planet Jupiter. It would continue its rise for about 9 months. And what happens next is simply astounding. Science can now know factually, testifying that on the evening of September 17th, 3 BC, a spectacular astronomical event took place in the heavens, capturing the attention of astronomers in modern-day Iraq. The planet Venus appeared to move eastward as if from the naked eye, looked to collide with the planet Jupiter. The two planets appeared as one large star in the western sky, leading towards Palestine. Jupiter was known astrologically as the father of the gods. The planet Jupiter symbolized this deity. And in early August, 2 BC, Jupiter had just left its vicinity near the sun and conjoined with Venus, known as the mother of the gods. This happening was seen as a birth of a king. Jupiter often was associated with the birth of kings, and therefore called the king planet. And here was the king planet in conjunction with Venus. To the Chaldeans and the Magi, Venus was Ishtar, the mother, the goddess of fertility. Thus Jupiter, the father, was now in conjunction with Venus, the mother. Could this have signified to astrologers what the birth of a new king was imminent? This happening does not happen often. Usually several centuries will pass before such a sign would be seen again. Soon Venus, the mother, approached the planet Mercury, coming within 30.36 degrees. A new moon was prominent as the Jewish New Year was approaching, September 11th. Simultaneously, the planet Jupiter, known as the king planet, appeared to be approaching Regulus, the king star. The head of the zodiac, Leo the Lion, had three conjunctions between Jupiter and Regulus within its constellation. The three conjunctions with Regulus were August 12th, 3 BC, February 17th, 2 BC, and May 8th and 9th, 2 BC. This conjunction could have been a favorable sign because these two planets were known by astrologers as the greater and the lesser good fortunes of all the planets. And note this, while this conjunction was occurring, the sun, the Supreme Father, the moon, considered a mother, and Mercury, the messenger of the gods, were located in the single constellation of Leo the Lion. Christians called Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. These primary bodies clustering in Leo, while Jupiter and Venus were now in close union, may reflect biblical significance. Genesis chapter 49 verse 10 had foretold there would always be a ruler from Judah, from Jacob, called the Lion, until the time of the Messiah. Leo was dominated by the star Regulus, which astronomers called the King Star. The Magi, being astronomers and astrologers, would surely read these signs. The Lion was the symbol of the tribe of Judah, and the constellation appears in the Hebrew zodiac. The association of Leo with Judah arose from the fact that Leo was Judah's natal sign. In the Bible, there are frequent allusions to the connection between Leo and the tribe of Judah. Thus we read, Judah is the lion's whelp, and again, the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Hebrew, Jupiter was called Tzedek, righteous, a term specially pertaining to the Messiah. On September 11th, Jupiter was close to the constellation of Virgo, the Virgin. On September 3rd of 3 BC, Jupiter was in conjunction with Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation of Leo, the Lion, which was associated with kings and the Lion of Judah, as foretold by the dying Jacob in Egypt in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Also on December 25th of 2 BC, Jupiter stopped for 6 days over Bethlehem. The only thing that could add to this would be a neon sign saying Jesus Christ, born here, December 25. The June convergence of Jupiter and Saturn would have been so spectacular that the wise men believed this sight was significant. It also would have coincided with the birth of John the Baptist. The Magi would certainly have seen this as a sign and began their journey, which would have led them to Jerusalem. As they arrived in Jerusalem and inquire about the child, Herod asked them when they first saw the star at its rising. This would have been about 15 months. It is not a stretch to say that Herod rounded this figure off to 2 years to determine children to slaughter. The star then went before the Magi and rested over Jerusalem on December 25th. It was about a 6 to 12 day journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. This does not take us beyond January 6th, the traditional day of the visit of the Magi. It is less than a week to the eclipse that marks the beginning of God's judgment on the life of Herod for his abominable crimes. And so the above line is that I am not an astronomer, but I can still trust the science and the knowledge of those who do know. I do not specifically know Greek, yet I trust those who do. In all of this, I trust the Holy Catholic Church, who through history, tradition, scripture, and science teach the whole truth, who is Jesus. And from deeper truth, I want to wish everyone a great Advent as we continue on, as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. And like the wise men, we are on journey. And so we are on journey. And I love this song, beautiful song for Eucharistic adoration. Thank you. does adore him. And if you have the opportunity in your parish to go and spend some time with our Lord in Eucharistic adoration, oh, come, let us adore him. And how wonderful and beautiful that is, this is. And I pray that everyone here who's, you know, for Advent, because the more you put into your Advent, this Advent, the more out of Christmas you're going to receive. So I just encourage everyone to really keep Christ into Christmas and pray the rosary, and lift high the name of Jesus. Lift high the Lord. And how wonderful it is. We serve a great God. We serve a great Lord. He is so good. He is so good. And so, may you all have a great day today. And we will end today's presentation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you all. And if you're doing any traveling, be safe. Be safe, and we will see you the next time.